preacher. Well, it's a blessing to be here tonight, isn't it? Amen. Amen. What a blessing. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs tonight, chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs. While you're turning, I want to say that I'm just really, really, really thrilled to be here. And I tell you, you folks have got to be on shouting ground for the Lord giving you this beautiful building. This is beautiful. I don't know how much you've done to it, but this was already here. What about that? Isn't that amazing? Well, I tell you something. God looked down and smiled on you folks. Don't take that for granted. God's blessed y'all with a building, and that's great. That's great. A lot of churches, I know churches have been going for years and years and don't have nice facilities like this, so the Lord's been good to you folks. You must have got his attention, and he looked down and smiled on you and gave you this beautiful, beautiful building. I'm telling you, we're in the process of trying to build or buy or both, and it's just unbelievable. I talked to a man about a building, a metal building like this, the structure of this building, and he said steel, just like them steel beams right there, have doubled in cost just in 3 years, the last 3 years. So it'd be triple what it was 10 years ago. Concrete, $100 a yard, starting this weekend. And it's just unbelievable. So the Lord's blessed y'all with a very, very nice facility, and we ought to just praise God for it. Really, really, you should. You ought to just be on shouting ground. I mean, a balcony. You are uptown. I know I kind of miss Elvis. No drinking. Signs are gone, but you need a sign or two on the wall. But honestly, this is beautiful. It's been a while since I preached in a big shot church with a balcony. With a balcony, I'm telling you. I feel unworthy for coming here tonight. But I enjoyed being here, and I have been looking forward to staying all week, and I believe the Lord's going to do something. Got a lot of folks coming from different churches. They promised me throughout the week, some from over Bright Light, some from up here in Mooresville, different places. And so I want to encourage you to be here every night. Don't let the devil cheat you out of being here one night. Push. Kids, ain't no homework. Parents, no homework is more important than this revival this week. Ain't that right? And you tell them at school that I said that, and we'll sue them if they disagree with you. That's right. Tell them I said that. I ain't ashamed of that. I believe that. I believe that. I believe God's house and God's work and revival is more important than homework. Don't you? Amen. I believe that. I believe a ball game is more important than homework sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. I believe the Lord's work is come first. And I love Brother Chris. Thank God for his vision, his burden, and what he's doing here. And so now I'm going to be telling you about some special things throughout the week. I'm praying about, I hadn't even asked him about it, but I'm praying about doing something for these young people maybe about Thursday night, maybe gearing toward the youth. And if all you kids will go bring all your friends, maybe we could do something like that Thursday night or maybe Friday night. We'll talk about that, but we'll announce that tomorrow night. What I want to do tonight is look in Proverbs chapter 6. And tonight, I want to preach a sermon the Lord gave me a long time ago on the ant. Ant. A-N-T. Ant. And I know that if you're from up north, you don't pronounce it like that, but I could try my best to say it right the whole service, and it wouldn't work, so I'm just going to say it like I say it. Ant. A-N-T. It's pronounced the same as your mother's sister. It's spelled different. That's spelled A-U-N-T, but it's pronounced ain't. And this is spelled A-N-T, and it's pronounced ain't. It's a little bitty thing that crawls around. There might be one in here tonight crawling around on the floor. Sometimes they're black. Sometimes they're red, orange looking. And little bitty, sometimes little, it's called little pea ants. And then there's big old, and then there's big ugly ones, them big fire ants. But they're ants. That's what I want to preach about tonight. How many of you ever saw an ant? Raise your hand. Okay. You know what an ant is. One might be crawling up your britches leg right now while we speak. Them busy little things. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. When I first got saved, I started reading the Bible. And one day I remember I'd been saved about a year. And I said, I'm going to read Proverbs. And I said, I'm going to do everything it says. Everything it says to do, I'm going to do it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. So whatever it said to do, love your neighbor, whatever, I said, I'm going to do it, whatever it said. And I came to this scripture. Look at 6:6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. That's a big old lazy, something like a big snail. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, these are the ants, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Well, I read that scripture, and it said that we're supposed to go to the ant and consider her ways. And I thought, well, I ain't never done that. I claim to be living right, and I ain't even doing what the Bible says to do, go to the ant. So I went to the ant. I went home, and I went out in the yard and started going to the ant, looking for some. And I walked around in my driveway, and I looked. Sure enough, it wasn't long. So I looked down, there went some across the yard. And I began to watch them. And I was looking down on them, and there's a long line of them. They're lined up, going around this way, and they went around a tree, and over across the yard, and started going up in the woods. And there's a line of them going, looked like the interstate. There's a line of them going that way, and a line of them coming back this way. And it was just pretty as you please, all lined up going up through there. And I said, where are them things going? And I walked around, and there's going down in a hole, and they had a little ant hill there that they pile up. You saw an ant hill in your yard. It's a pretty little stack of grains of sand, just as neat and clean. I mean, a perfect little stack. How'd they get them to look like that? There's thousands and thousands of grains of sand on those little bitty ant hills. And them little things, they was just working like crazy to get that ant hill built. And so I want to preach on that tonight, answers from the ants. So after I watched them things for a little bit, I went and got an encyclopedia. And I looked up in the encyclopedia. I got the A, you know, it's real easy to find. And I got opened it up there, and there they was. I mean, about 3 pages on ants. And I read what it said about them things, and I'm telling you, Brother Chris, I have never looked at an ant the same since. And I want to give you tonight what God gave me. When the Spirit of God said, go to the ant, He meant there was a reason for us to do it. I want to say tonight, this is Tabernacle Baptist Church. This is in type tonight of an ant hill. And all of you are the little working ants. And me, and the pastor, and all of it. And we are building this little ant hill here for the glory of God. I believe the Lord would like to look down and see it just pile up and pile up and pile up. Don't you? And I know that you would too. So let's think about that. I read that ants are very much like us. They're like people. They live together in cities. They are social insects. They are the only other creature besides man that has organized warfare and soldiers. Here, the Bible and God puts the ant in front of the sluggard to teach him a lesson. And they have engineers, they have slaveholders, stock keepers, and construction workers, all without a boss, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the... And boy, that's the thing. These little things, they work their legs off, and they don't even have an overseer. Now, an overseer is what we'd call a boss man. Overseer, what we would refer to as the pastor. They don't even have a pastor preaching to them, and they get the job done anyway. You know, I've been to a lot of churches. I was in one the other day, and they said, Brother Danny, please pray that God will send us a pastor. We don't have a pastor. Pray that God will send us a pastor. And you know what? I don't know why they want one. They ain't going to do what he says. Why do churches even have a pastor? Really, I mean, they can save a lot of money by just go ahead and do it like they're doing. Let one of the deacons get up and talk on Sunday. They're not going to do what the preacher said. I mean, he can preach his head off, and they're just going to sit there and say, that's very good, preacher. I enjoyed that. And not change one thing. Am I telling the truth? Really? Come on now. Don't act religious on me tonight. You know good and well that the average person has absolutely no intentions at all of doing what the preacher said. None. I mean, they look at me like, if you can preach a good sermon and entertain me for a few minutes, great. But if you think that I'm going to change anything in my life, you are smoking crack, preacher. I mean, you don't know what you're talking about. But these ants, they don't have an overseer. They don't have a guide. And they get the job done anyway. That's impressive. And so, all without a boss. They're busy. It's one of the busiest places in the world is an anthill. There's always something going on. That's one of the biggest compliments this community could pay to this church. Every time they drive by here, they'll say, man, them people's always doing something. They're out there planting flowers or out there putting up signs. Man, them people there, that's like, you don't ever go by an anthill and see grass growing up in the anthill. I'm telling you, brother, they're busy. They're doing something. I'm going to tell you tonight, let me show you how God can make a great church right here on the side of this Highway 16 in Denver, North Carolina. I told somebody I was going to Denver. They thought I was going to Colorado. I said, nope, it's the wrong Denver. But you know how God, wouldn't you like to see God build a big church here and y'all buy this whole place and have to build a big auditorium out here and hundreds of people getting saved? Would you like that? Nod your head. Okay, I'm going to tell you how you can do it. God don't like somebody down the road barely likes you. God don't like that church over there more than he likes you. It's going to be up to you to get together and say, by the grace of God, we're going to roll up our sleeves and brother spit on our hand and get the job done that God has given us to do here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. Amen. It ain't just going to drop in your lap. It's going to happen. Amen. Because of our work. I'm telling you, the smallest need is greater better than the greatest intention. You meet people everywhere, they intend to do it. Well, I'm going to do it. You know something, preacher? I'm going to get in there one of these days. I'm going to do something for God. No, you ain't going to do it today. You probably won't do it tomorrow. It's one of the busiest places in the world. I want to say four things about these ants tonight. And I want to say, first of all, they each... Got that in you? Each work according to their own ability. They each work according to their own ability. Every single ant works. I've never seen one that didn't, unless he did. I have never seen an ant that didn't work. I watched them things for a long time. And I watched them, and you know what they'd do? They'd walk over here like this right here, over here in the driveway, and they'd pick up something bigger than that piano. According to the size of their body. Matter of fact, them things are so strong that if you could relate their strength to our strength, I would be able to pick up a train car, a locomotive car, on a train track. That's how strong them little buggers are. And they look like this, and they go, ooh, and pick up this big old grain like that, and they'll turn right around and go over here like this where the pile is and throw it on the pile. They'll turn around, and they'll go back like this right here, pick up another grain of sand, ooh, and they'll turn right around like this and throw it on a pile. They do that all day long. And they'll come over here like this, and their buddies is right behind them, big old lines of them. I mean, they're over here like this, putting it like this. And boy, I'm telling you, that's why one day there ain't nothing there. And you go back in a day or two, and Lord have mercy, where'd that come from? Big old pretty anthill, just as pretty as you please. Have you ever seen that? I mean, that don't just happen. And it ain't just two or three of them doing that. Some people think, well, it's the pastor's job to go out and get people. That's why there's three grains of sand on the hill. I mean, he can't do it all by himself. You're a brother. You know how it is. Here's the average church. Here's the average church. They go over here and stick up a sign that says, "Welcome, Trinity Baptist Anthill. All grains welcome." And then they just sit down and say, "The Lord will send them in whenever he gets ready." We're praying for you, grains. God, send them grains of sand in. God, oh sovereign God. And the Lord saying, "You lazy, sorry, good-for-nothing thing, get over there and get them and throw them on the pile." Now listen, there's not a person in here tonight. Y'all listen to me. There is not a person in here tonight, if you meant business and tried hard enough, that couldn't walk through that door this week with somebody beside you. Don't you tell me that you can't get somebody. I don't believe it. You can. You know somebody that you can get to church. Amen. That's right. And boy, these little things, they just come over here, they grab one there. Here's where the average church is. You got three ants down here working. And they're running their legs off, bless their heart, working all day. And you got 150 up here on the side of a hill, sitting here with sunglasses on in their lawn chairs, watching them three. As a matter of fact, they're not just watching. They're complaining about how they're doing the work. They're saying, "I just don't agree with the way he got that sand over there. And I don't like the way he walks either." And I'll tell you one thing. Why is she always up there doing something? And just running their mouth. And they're like, same old ones do everything in our church. Like that one preacher said, he said, my church is 100% willing. He said, 5% willing to do the work and 95% willing to let them. That's the way it is. That's sad. That's true. Amen. I mean, get up, people. Let's get up and get out of here. And you know why a lot of people don't like to hear me preach? Because I put pressure on you.
Amen.
And I'm going to put pressure on you tonight.
Amen.
I'm going to put pressure on you to the point where some of you are going to leave and you're going to say, well, he's all right, but some of the things he said, I just disagreed with. And the reason why is because God's getting you, buddy. The Lord's getting you a little bit, and you're feeling guilty, and that's the way you get rid of that guilt, and saying you don't like me. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm going to dump it in your lap, whether you do anything about it or not. That's when you and God, you'll answer to judgment day one day for me trying to get you to do something for God and you not doing it. Amen. They each work according to their own ability. I was preaching, you may have heard me tell this story on the radio. I was preaching down in Florence, South Carolina. And I drove about 5 hours down there one morning. And I was preaching years and years ago. This preacher, he begged me. He said, Danny, please come preach with us. I said, I will. He said, I want you to come on Sunday. I said, man, I just can't hardly do that. I said, I can't hardly leave a church on Sunday. Well, he kept on and on. He pressured me. And he made me believe it was God's will. And everything. I said, all right, I'll come. I said, if you believe it that strong, I'll come. Well, they had a church that reminded me a lot of this building right here, about the same size of this. They averaged about 60 people on Sunday. They had about 60 people, and they had metal chairs, just like you've got here, and they averaged about 60. He said, we've worked hard, preacher. He said, we've got people coming. He said, we're going to have someday Sunday. This coming Sunday. And they named it Someday Sunday. And he said, everybody in our church is supposed to bring somebody. He said, you know how you always invite people to come to church? And they said, I'm going to come someday. He said, well, it's this Sunday. That's when you can come. This is Someday Sunday. That's right. And I said, well, that's a pretty good idea. And so they worked. I went in there that morning, people, and I'm telling you, that place was packed, jam full. I had to sit over here. They wouldn't know where to sit. That bill, they had 150 people in there that morning. Them people went to work. I'm telling you, brother, they got the grains. They come over and throw them on the pile. They had 150 people in that little building. I was impressed. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! I mean, the Lord's going to do something. Well, I got up there and preached that morning. And we came back on Sunday evening. And I was staying with an old man and his wife out in a double-wide trailer out the street. That's where they put me up to stay. And his name was Troy Brodgen and his wife Lucille. And there was an elderly couple. He is retired, and he's a retired truck driver. And I was staying with them. We come back on Sunday night, and the preacher got up. And he said, now, we had a big day this morning, folks. And he said, I just want to recognize some people who really did good and brought a lot of visitors. He said, matter of fact, I have a few little gifts I'd like to give away. He gave out the New Testament on tape. He had a strong concordance. He had a new Bible. So some nice gifts that he wanted to give people and honor as a reward for bringing people to church. He said, Sister so-and-so, would you come up here? And there's a young lady got up there. She's about 14, 15 years old. He stood up there and he said, and I can't remember exactly, but he said something like seven. He said, I think this girl brought seven people to church this morning. A teenage girl. Seven people she brought with her that morning. And I said, praise God. Hallelujah. He gave her a gift. He said, Sister so-and-so, would you come up here? A lady came up. A middle-aged lady, she stood right here beside that girl. He said, this lady, I think she had 15 people in the service that morning. He said, Sister so-and-so has brought 15 people today in the service. I said, Lord have mercy. I started feeling guilty. I started feeling like a hypocrite. I said, man, how long has it been since I brought 15 people to church? And I started just sort of sliding down in my seat like that. And he said, but, he said, the person who's brought the most visitors is Brother Troy. He said, Brother Troy, would you come up here? I said, surely he's got the wrong Troy. Troy was on, he was on one of these walker things, man, like them square kind, you know, got to hold both hands. He walked like this. He had emphysema. He come up there like this right here. I thought, he brought more visitors than anybody? I said, Lord, I'd give him a prize for just getting himself there. I said, he said, he
He humbled up there and said, he had emphysema or something. He couldn't breathe. He'd been an alcoholic for years and years, smoked cigarettes all his life. His body was destroyed. He stood up there like this right here. And the preacher said, Brother Troy brought 40 visitors to church. I said, my soul. I said, I'm a hypocrite. Let Troy preach. Really? I said, I ain't got no business up there preaching to him. Man got up. I said, I sat up on the edge of my seat. I got real interested in Brother Troy real quick. I said, he brought 40 people. How did he get 40 people to come to church? So after we got home that night, right to his trailer, I said, Troy, how did you get all them people to come to church? You know what he done? That old fella got up on Monday morning of that week before that. He got on his telephone. He got him a cup of coffee, sat down beside there, got the phone book out. He got on and he said, Joe, it's Troy. You remember me, don't you, Joe? We used to work together for years, you know, over at Freightliner. I worked on them trucks for you. He said, Joe, I need you to do me a favor. Will you come to church Sunday, Joe? Come on. Joe, bring your wife, kid. Give me a favor. Will you come, Joe? Yeah, will you? Okay. Now, it starts at 10 o'clock. You promise you'll be there, Joe? Yeah. All right, he hung up. George. Hey, George, it's Troy. All right. He stayed on the phone all day Monday, all day on Tuesday. Hours and hours, Wednesday and Thursday. He was going after them things, buddy. He was going after them. You don't get every one of them. You know what he done? About the middle part of the week, he called them back. Joe, you going to be there, ain't you? Now, Joe, you remember, you promised me. Joe, you don't know what the Bible say. Going to highways and hedges is what? Compelled. He couldn't even get out and drive around. He couldn't go. Listen, his legs wasn't like mine. He wasn't healthy as you people in here tonight. You ought to bring a whole lot more than Troy did. He can't walk as good as you can. Looky here. Woo! Hallelujah. Troy couldn't do that, but his life depended on it. What's my excuse? Boy, he got on Saturday morning, he went down his list all day. Hey, it's Troy, Joe, John, George, Troy. Bring them all. Bring them. And he called everybody he knew, people he didn't know, and begged them. I mean, boy, and everything. He called them all. And boy, I said, Brother Troy, thank God, brother. That's the way. He said, Brother Danny, I just want to do something for the Lord. He said, I tell you, I got saved. He said, I drunk that old liquor. That's the way he done. He said, I drunk that old liquor all these years. And he said, preacher, he said, the only thing I do now wrong is smoke these old cigarettes. And he said, I can't quit that. I was sitting there thinking, Lord, you can smoke like a freight train for all I care if you bring 40 people to church. You didn't like that, did you? Some of you self-righteous people don't like that. Some of you people say, oh, I would never smoke a cigarette. Yeah, but you'll let your neighbor go to hell and burn like one, won't you? Amen. I'm not endorsing smoking, but I'm just saying I got more respect for a man who smokes a cigarette and gets somebody to God than to have people don't never do nothing wrong, but don't ever do nothing right. Yeah. Yeah, say amen right there. Hey, amen. I can't hear you. Hey! Thank you. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, listen, that old boy got them on there and piled them up, 150 grains of sand. I mean, they each work according to their own ability. Just two or three people cannot build an anthill. It piles up because so many people work. Listen, we could go out visiting all day tomorrow, me and him, and if we got five people here, we'd be doing good. You know, the day we're living in. If we got five, I figure we'd be doing great. But you know what? There's enough people in here tonight to bring 30 people here tomorrow night and for the week's out if we really tried. You see, when a bunch of people get to working, people put their guard up. But sometimes they won't even answer the door when the preacher comes. Y'all got it made, man. There's a wall up between us. They say, Lord, there's the preacher. You know, little kid comes to the door and says, Mama said, tell you she ain't home. I mean, they'll turn the TV down. I've seen them. You know, I've seen shadows moving around in there and everything. The blinds closed and they won't answer the door. But you work with them. You talk to them every day. Listen, brother, get them, brother, get them. They each work according to their own ability. I'm telling you tonight, you just make up your mind. Some people's like blisters. They don't show up till the work's done. And then just aggravate you. Can't you think of something you can do? I don't understand how people just go to church, and never do nothing for God. I heard about this story. This is a true story, and don't get mad at me. This Sunday school teacher told this, and it really happened. This is not a joke. I mean, it's funny, but it's not a joke. This Sunday school teacher was talking to her class, and she said, "Now, boys and girls, we need to do something for the Lord. We need to do something for the Lord. Give up something. Start doing something. Get busy for God." And he said, "Now, boys and girls," taught the whole class. Said, "Little boys and girls, does anybody know anything good you can do for the Lord?" One little old bitty boy, about 7 years old, raised his hand and said, "I know." She said, "Little Johnny, what do you know that you can do for the Lord?" He said, "Help Daddy clean up the yard." She said, "That's a good boy. Good boy. That's a good boy, Johnny. Now, does anybody else know something good that you can do?" He raised his hand again. Same little boy. He said, "I know." She said, "Johnny, what else do you know that's good?" He said, "Help Mommy take out the trash." "Oh, that's a good boy. Good boy. That's right, son. Now, anybody else? Can anybody else think of something good that you can do?" He raised his hand again. "I know." She said, "Johnny, what else do you know that's good that you can do?" He said, "Don't eat boogers." She said, "Yeah, that's good, Johnny. That's a good boy. We shouldn't do that." I mean, and that's honestly what he said. And I thought, well, hallelujah, at least he was trying to do something. I mean, if y'all can't think of nothing else to do, give up eating boogers tonight. I mean, for heaven's sake, man, I mean, repent of something. I mean, we preach on everything in the world, and some people never come to the altar. They never pray. Repent of something. Lord, help. Quit doing something. Get right with God. Do something. I don't see how a person just sits there all their life. I don't understand how people can just sit there their whole life, never smile, never shout, never cry, never go to the altar. I was some people's pastor for 20 years, Brother Chris, and I never saw him go to the altar one time. I don't understand. In 20 years, you never got under conviction, or you never sinned, or no, you don't never made no changes. Lord, have mercy. You're dead. They just ain't buried you yet. Really? My goodness. They each work according to their own ability. Number two, let me say this about these ants. They work harmoniously. They work together. They don't work against each other. You don't ever see a bunch of ants down there fussing and fighting. They're getting the job done, brother. They're not down there saying, "Well, I don't like you." "Well, I don't like you either." "And I don't like them shoes that you're wearing." "Well, I don't agree with the way you're doing this." And just down there fussing. Oh, they're getting the heel built. They each work harmoniously. Can I say this tonight, Tabernacle Baptist Church? How long have you been in existence, Brother Chris? 2.5 years. My, so you have made great strides. You really have. God has blessed this place. Only 2.5 years old. Look at this multi-$1,000 facility. That's right. Amen. Like that fellow said, he said, I'm not a millionaire. I'm a thousandaire. Or I'm a hundredaire. I don't like it. But I will tell you, brother, you couldn't build this. You couldn't build what you've got right here with the land and grade and everything for probably less than $100,000. So God has been good to you. Probably more than that time you finished it. And God's blessed y'all. Only 2.5 years. What a blessing. God has blessed this place. And you know what? There ain't enough beer joints in Denver to bless this church up. There is not enough liquor stores in the state of North Carolina to tear up Tabernacle Baptist Church. I will tell you, if you have problems, and you probably will, if you have problems, where your problems going to be? They're going to be from you people sitting right in here, not working together, biting, and cutting each other's throat, and getting mad at each other, and disagreeing. There's where our problems come from. Liquors, we don't ever say, "Bless God, the Congress, and they won't let us pray in school, and abortion." I'm against all that stuff too. But that ain't what's hurting our churches. Brother, what's hurting our churches is us getting in here biting and devouring each other and cutting each other's throat behind each other's back. People's got these little friends, and they get their little friends over here, and they talk about this group, and this little bunch of friends gets over to their house, and they gossip about this and that. And they'll say, "We had a men's meeting in our church last night." Men, some of the ladies came too, but mostly the men in our church. And I come and I said, "This is what we're praying about doing, fellas, about buying some property and land and everything." And I said, "Does anybody want to say anything?" There's a couple of them said a couple of things. I said, "Does anybody want to say anything bad?" I said, "If you don't say anything bad, say it right here, right now, to my face. Don't go out here and go home and say, well, I just don't agree with some of the things that's going on. Da, da, da. None of you chickens have to go out and talk about what they don't like. They'll, in church, they'll smile at you and act like we're with you, brother. And then as soon as they walk out the door, because they ain't man enough, they don't have enough guts to come to a man's face and talk to him, they want to go out and get other people on their side. I mean, you're only 2.5 years old. Y'all still on your honeymoon. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. It's the day's going to come when you're going to have this little person over here, and this one's going to be jealous, and this one's going to be jealous, and they don't like something he says. You can't preach that book and not make people mad. And somebody's going to get mad. Somebody's going to get upset. I was preaching somewhere not long ago. People got up and just walked out. Can you imagine that, as sweet as I am? And brother, I tell you what, brother, there were people upset. I mean, people get mad. People get offended. But I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to make up your mind by the grace of God. By the grace of God, that God has put me in Tabernacle Baptist Church, Denver, North Carolina. He's ordained that man to be my pastor. And by the grace of God, I'm going to stick with the bunch. We're going to work together. We're going to back up the man of God. We're going to see God do something. We're going to work together and get the hill built for the glory of God. Say amen. And if you can't do that, go on down the road quiet. Don't take nobody else with you. And find you a church where you can worship God. I don't understand. I know people have been in the same church 20 years and disagree with everything that goes on. Won't they just go find them one they can agree with? Probably ain't no such thing. That's why they go to a different church every 2 years. Amen? Listen, brother, you're not going to like everything he does. I mean, let's see. If I can find something wrong. I think it would have been a little better if you'd have put some carpet down right here. Instead of these little things sliding around out from under people like this, how are you going to pray? I found the fault already, ain't I? There'll be carpet there tomorrow night. I'm just kidding. See, if you could find something to match this, you know, and put it right here. I'm just kidding, really. I know you've been rushed to get in here, but I mean, you can find something wrong, for heaven's sake. You sure can. Y'all can find something wrong with me. You can say, well, he hurt my feelings. I can find something wrong with you. But listen, brother, we agree on what's necessary. We agree on what's important. We agree on the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Let's work together, for heaven's sake. Most people don't quit church over something that's important. It's over little nitpicky things. They work harmoniously. They work together. They mind their own business. I found out this. Busy people have no time to be busy bodies. You know who's causing you the problems in churches? People ain't doing nothing. The busiest people in our church, I never have a trouble. Never been having a trouble. Bus workers, Sunday school workers, people that's busy for God, they don't have time to find fault with everything going on in the church. They work harmoniously. You know what they said? The encyclopedia said that them ants, they keep their nest and their hill extremely neat and clean. You don't ever see no trash on an anthill. Haven't you ever wondered that? There's pollen and flowers and junk blowing around everywhere. Them little anthills just pretty as you please. They ain't a speck. And if they'll drag that piece of trash out and throw it out. Ain't that neat? They work to keep their little anthill clean and neat looking. They keep themselves clean. Have you ever seen an ant with muddy feet? Come tracking it. No, you don't. They ain't got, how do they stay so clean? Well, you ain't going to believe it, but the encyclopedia said they licked themselves with their tiny tongues. That's what it said. I seen that, I about shouted. I said, glory to God. God said, go to the ant. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to lick myself with my tiny tongue. I'm supposed to say, shut up, Danny. Straighten up, Danny. You know what our problem is? We're licking each other. We're running our mouth about each other and won't even straighten ourselves out. Keep our tongue off each other, brother, but we might have some cleaner lives our own self. We can sure run our mouth about everybody else's life, can't we? Boy, we're experts on what everybody else ought to be doing. Yuck. That's what's killing churches. I mean, I've been preaching 30 years, man. I know what's hurt churches. It's people starting this right here. Getting over to the house after church and saying, well, I tell you one thing right now. Ed McAbee, a friend of mine down in Gaffney, South Carolina, he was preaching revival. And boy, he's a hard preacher. And boy, he said there's a deacon's wife in there, and she had on a miniskirt that night. That's what he said. It's been years ago. And he said, she's sitting back there beside her husband. He come down. He said, boy, you ladies ought to dress right. And he said, all of a sudden, she just swelled up like a toad frog. And he said, if looks could kill, she'd kill me right there in that church. And he said, she looked at me like, buddy. Okay. Like Herodias did, man. Old John the Baptist. And I'm telling you what, man, she looked at him like that. He said she punched that husband of hers. And when that thing was over, she grabbed him and said, we're getting out of here, buddy. See, he's one of these little old husbands that just did whatever she said. You know, just a little push-button model. He didn't do nothing until she said it was all right. He's one of them, when you brought something up, he said, give me a while to pray about it. What he really means is, let me ask my wife what she thinks. Oh. Yeah, man. Preach it, preacher. And said, my mom and daddy never have an argument. You know why? Because he keeps his mouth shut and she runs the whole thing. That's right. It ain't supposed to be like that. If a man and woman don't ever argue about nothing, he roosts on the end of the bed at night. He's a hen peck. Just thought I'd throw that in there. I thought you might get a blessing out of that. But anyway, I tell you, brother, they said, that woman grabbed him, she marched him out of there, and she said, I'm not going back. She said, you're not going back. And she said, when this revival's over, we're going to get rid of the pastor for having a man like that come to preach. Son, she called everybody in that church, Brother Chris. She told them awful things. She said, I'm not going back. You're crazy if you go back. He's mean. He's judgmental. He's awful. Let's get rid of the pastor. And it killed that revival. Now, when judgment day comes, the liquor store down the street will have less to answer for than that woman and that deacon's wife killing that revival. If she'd let that thing go, God might have sent a revival and saved that liquor store, man. Boy, we got to run that mouth when that preacher does something we don't buy. And the pastor met brother his way out west somewhere, and they tried a lot of travel expense and everything, and they was going to give him a good love offering. He sat down with Brother Ed at the end of the meeting, had breakfast with him. He said, preacher, he said, I'm embarrassed. He said, you know what happened, don't you? He said, that sermon you preached the other night, you made that woman mad. And he said, she's got the whole church to her. They're probably going to run me off here next week. He said, the deacons met, and they deducted $300 out of your love offer for the sermon you preached the other night. What's that? Yes. Brother Ed said, that's all right. I didn't know I had one worth $300. He said, that's a compliment, man. One sermon worth $300. He said, I'd give $300 to preach that old hussy again. But I'll tell you something, brother. That's what's good. They work harmoniously. Them ants work harmoniously. They work harmoniously. They work together. You see, our God, I hear about that preacher, boy, he's preaching on the tongue. He said, the tongue is wicked. We ought to quit gossiping, shut our mouths, keep our mouths off each other. And boy, he said, there's a woman come to altar crying. She's the biggest gossip in the church. Everybody knew it. She run her mouth all the time. She said, oh, preacher, pray I can get my tongue on the altar. He said, ma'am, we got about 30 feet of it here. Just double it. Let it flop on both ends. And I said, hallelujah. I know something like that, don't you? Amen. Well, I heard about that one fella. He said, he's telling his buddy. He said, Lord, did you hear about what happened to our church Sunday? He said, no. What? He said, man, they have robbers. These robbers come in. They had stuff over their head, and they held us up at gunpoint, and they went down there, and they stole all the offering. He said they went down the aisle. He said they made all the women take their jewelry off, the rings and earrings and everything, put it in there, stole everything. He said, but they didn't get my wife's. He said, she took hers all off and put them in her mouth. And that fellow said, Lord, if my mother had been not allowed to been there, you can save the whole offering. I will tell you something, brother, that you can't get nothing done like that. They each work according to their own ability. Hey, will you make up your mind to go to work tonight? You can save us 10 minutes off this thing if everybody in here tonight will just get up and interrupt me and hit this altar and say, dear God, I'm going to work. I'm going to work. It's not my brother nor my sister. I'm not sitting around saying, why ain't our church growing? Well, listen, they're not just going to come running in here. You honestly think because you stick up the sign and says Tabernacle Baptist, people's going to come running in that door? Who do you think you are? You think you're something special? Really, what have you got? Make them want to come in here. Brother, the Bible didn't say, stick up a sign and said they'll come in. It said, go in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. You have got something worth them coming for. They don't know it. You've got to go get them. Let me say, thirdly tonight, I'll hurry. They persevere in the face of danger. It's what the encyclopedia said. Them little buggers, they stick together. An ant's vision is poor. I didn't know that. They can't see, hardly. How do they even know where they're going? They said they have very, very limited short. I guess if you're that short, Lord, you can't see grass in front of you. You can't see that. You wouldn't even know where you was at, in the jungle or somewhere. You was out in somebody's yard. But they can't see it. But they have these little antennas on their head, like little detectors. And they're like this all the time. And that's how they know where they're going. They have a built-in radar system, what the encyclopedia says. And they can detect an intruder. When a crook comes in, someone goes, and they say, he's a crook, get away from him. He's here to kill us. They know when danger's at hand because of that built-in radar system. And I read that out about shouting. I said, Lord, in mercy, we've got one of them inside of us. There's something inside you if you're saved. If somebody starts preaching wrong or something goes, you turn on the TV, there's some guy on there, he's off base, he's got the wrong spirit, isn't there something, and you say, cut him off. Thank God, brother, we can't see very far. We ain't got much vision, but we got a built-in radar system. The Holy Ghost, he helps us bear witness to the truth as it preached. You know what they do? They have said, now I have never seen this with my eyes, but the encyclopedia said that ants have been known and seen to ball up when there's danger near, or roll across a mud or a little stream, a little creek. That's hard to believe, but that's what it said. It said they'll take something. When they come across a ditch, and they'll take a stick and lay it across the ditch, and then they'll all walk across it. They stick together. They don't say, I can live just as right at home. I don't need you people. They stick with that bunch all the time. There's safety if you stick together. And that's what I hope y'all will do. You can't say, well, I'm just going to stay at home now. I've got my feelings hurt, and I can read my Bible at home. I don't need the church. Oh, yeah, you do too. You know what? You'll freeze to death when wintertime comes. When the times get hard, you won't make it. They ball up. That's what we need to do. In this dark, cold hour that we're living in, we ought to just ball up together. And forget our fussing, forget our argument, and just ball up tight. They said, you remember the banana? When it left the bunch, it got skinned. Let that be a lesson to you. Amen, brother. That's right. You know what will happen to you if you quit church? The devil will skin you, buddy. He'll skin you. Last thing I'll say tonight, and I'm through, and we'll pray. They provide for the future. They store up food in the summertime, and when wintertime comes, they've got something to eat. They don't play around all summer and then starve in the winter. Guess what, people? Winter is coming. Judgment day is coming. What are we going to have when the roll is called up yonder? One of these days we're going to give an account for this revival. You're going to give an account for that money you gave. You're going to give an account for what you do with this sermon I'm preaching. I'm going to give an account for how I preached tonight. And in the sincerity of my heart, we're all going to give an account. They provide for the future. Man said one time, I used to think about this. I thought, boy, how could I know I'm going to be ready to meet the Lord? And a man said one time, he said, if you want to be where you ought to be tomorrow, then do what you ought to do today. The way to be where you ought to be tomorrow is do what you ought to do today. If you don't do what you ought to do today, you're not going to be where you ought to be tomorrow. That's one of the smartest things I've ever heard. You know how we want to be in the right place at judgment? Let's do what we ought to do today. Let's stand by his plan. Tonight, I brought you a little simple message.
I'm not trying to tell you what to do, nothing, friend. Ain't no use in getting mad at me. I'm just the old trailblazer. Amen. Amen. Let's take a Bible and turn to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. Couple things right quick. We want to be here every night now. We got some folks coming down to sing. I think Kelsey's coming on Thursday night. And Kelsey Chapman's coming to sing. And then Brunswick Singers are coming Friday night. So you don't want to miss the meeting every night this week. And praise the Lord, just do something special for us. Sure is good to have these preachers with us tonight. Our good friend Brother Tommy and all of y'all here tonight, from wherever you're from, different churches. What a blessing it is to be in church. Tonight, I want to bring you a message. I've done a little bit different last night and tonight, to tell you the truth. I usually don't preach what I preached last night in revivals. That's sort of a pastoral message, and the message is like that tonight. But I'm going to try to obey the Lord and try to give you what I feel like that God's laid on my heart. Look at Psalm 122, 122nd Psalm. Everybody looking at it? Amen. I'm going to read it. I was sad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Some couple of people caught something there. I was sad when they said, let's go to church. Let's go to the house of the Lord. I was sad. No, I didn't read it right. Okay. All right, let's do it again. I was mad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. No, that ain't what it said, is it? Some teenagers are like that. You get ready, you're going to church. Mama, why do I have to go? I've got homework. You don't care if you got homework when nothing else is going on. You know? Since when did you get such a burden to do homework? Listen, I don't know about you, but I'd rather go to church than do homework. I'd rather dig a ditch as do homework. I think homework is of the devil. School too, for that matter. I'm just kidding, sort of, but I sort of mean that. Lord, if they keep them there all day long. You can't teach them nothing all day long. Then they come home and then put a guilt trip on the parents and make them do their homework with them. Put them, write them a note back and say, that's what we're paying you for. Amen? So I'm going to think we ought to have an anti-homework movement. Amen? The poor white trash is going to rise up and say, no more homework. That's right. Amen. Now, there ain't nobody here but us, the Lord, the devil, so I can just say what I think, right? Amen. Let's read it right this time. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. You know what? Somebody come to David one time and said, hey, David. He said, yeah. He said, time to go to church. He said, glory to God, hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, if you're not glad when it's time to go to church, there's either one or two things wrong. Either your church is so sorry that it don't make you happy to go to, or you ain't right with God. If you're right with God and got a good church, you'll be glad to go to church. And you say, boy, I dread it every Sunday. You're either backslid or your church ain't no good. And there might be visitors here tonight. I'm sure they are from other churches. But you got a good church. You got a good pastor. You got one that preaches. You ought to be glad to go into the house of the Lord. I want to preach tonight on why everybody ought to go to church. Why everybody ought to go to church. It's a shame tonight. He's talking about them people driving 120 miles. I know people like that. I preach in Texas, out in Amarillo, Texas, out in the panhandle, and it's flat. Lord, why anybody want to move there? I have no idea. It's awful. It looks. First time I went to Texas and seen that place, I thought we were on the moon. I did. I said, the moon trip to the moon really was fake. They come out here and filmed that and ripped us off for all them billions of dollars of tax money. But it is awful, awful. Ain't no trees. And there's like 10 million cows over yonder in a big plain. You can smell it because wind blows all the time. Blows all that cow stuff right in your face. And it's all you smell when you walk outside is cow. Feels like everybody there lives in a barn. That's what it feels in that part of the country. But I met people there who drove 100 miles one way every night to the revival. 100 miles there, 100 miles back home. Some of you folks maybe live 10 minutes from the church. And boy, the least little old thing. It rained 10 drops, you know. And you can't come, or you got one booger in one side of your nose, and the whole family stays out and don't even go to church. Isn't that pitiful? That's pitiful. We're a spoiled, rotten bunch here in America. How good God's been to us, and how we treat Him and His work and His house. It's clear tonight that church attendance does not save you. I mean, we all know that. I don't think I should even have to say that. Going to church does not make you a Christian. I mean, some of the meanest devils in North Carolina go to church. That's a fact. I mean, they're so crooked they wouldn't get stuck if they fell in a barrel of fish hooks all the way down. They screw their socks on in the morning when they get up. They're crooked as a dog's hind leg and go to church every week. But that still is the exception, not the rule. The general rule is the best people in the world go to church. And the best people in the world, you'll find them at the house of God on Sunday going to church. Amen? The church is not a club for saints. The church is a hospital for sinners. A lot of people say, well, I'm just not good enough to go to church. No. No, the truth is there ain't none of us good enough to go to God. But we're not here to shine each other and look at each other. This is not a club for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And so tonight, I want to talk about that tonight. That is why everybody ought to go to church. I'll give you several reasons right quickly, and we'll go. First of all, this evening, I want to say that everybody ought to go to church, number one, first and foremost, not so they can pay your light bill. I'll help you out on your groceries. We get that every Sunday. The first reason a person ought to go to church is because God said to go to church. That's enough reason right there. If you never got a blessing, if you never enjoyed it, if you never had fun, if you never liked, if you never enjoyed it, you ought to go to church because God said to go to church. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 28 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, that ought to settle it right there. There's a lady told my mom the other day, she's trying to go to church. She told my mom, well, I just don't understand why do you have to go to church? She said, I can stay home. I can turn the TV on. There's preachers on TV. I can read the Bible. Why do you have to go to church? Duh, God said to. That's enough reason right there. The reason you ought to go to church, because God said to. Say, I don't get nothing out of it. He said, go anyway. You say, well, Brother Danny, the seats are uncomfortable. He said, go anyway. You say, I ain't got the gas money. Go anyway. You got enough to go everywhere else. God said to go to church, brother. He said to go to church. I know, if absence makes the heart grow fonder, I know some people sure must love their church. Because they ain't been in a coon's age, man. I tell you what, boy, they must really love it. I talked to this guy one time, and I said, where you go to church? He said, well, I go down here at, you can't even remember where you go. I mean, you don't go to. He said, oh, yeah. And who's the pastor? What is his name? You haven't asked me. I could have told you from the tip of my tongue. Don't even know the preacher's name. I said, where do you go? He said, I go down here when I go. He said, when I go down here at such and such. And I said, did you go Sunday? He said, no, I didn't make it Sunday. I said, what about Sunday before last? He said, didn't make it then either. I said, what about Sunday? Now, when a person says, when I go down here, what they mean is I go to the Christmas program. And they go on Easter Sunday. And then, you know, when the kids do something or say something like that, they don't go to church. And I said, well, how long has it been since you've been? He said, well, preacher, he said, I guess you could just say I'm inactive. Now, inactive is a nice little word that Baptists invented to replace the word backslid. It means the same thing, but backslid sort of sounds bad. So you say I'm inactive. It's like calling a drunk an alcoholic, you know. It's like calling a graveyard a memorial park, you know, or a hoe a street woman, you know. It's the same thing. It's just giving something a nicer name, you know, to make it sound a little more respectable. I'm inactive. Well, what he meant was he's backslid. The truth is you're not too bad to come, and you ain't too good to stay home. Listen, brother, you need to come to church. God said to go to church. It's pitiful that we make up so many excuses not to go to church that we don't use for anything else. You ever met these people that just can't go to church, but they can go everywhere else? They can go to Walmart. One man said, I don't go to church. There's too many hypocrites. And he said, well, there's hypocrites at Walmart. You go to Walmart? One fellow said, I ain't going to church. He said, why? He said, there's too many hypocrites. He said, oh, come on, one more ain't going to hurt us. That's right. Amen. I have to tell you something, brother. Somebody said this old fella. He worked for the newspaper, Brother Chris. And this guy, he run an ad in his paper. And he run his ad and he said, I'm taking a survey of our community. Why people don't go to church no more? He said, almost everybody here used to go to church. And he said, ain't none of them go to church no more. He said, I want you to write and tell me why you don't go to church no more. And he said, next week, I'm going to publish it in the paper. All of your reasons why you no longer go to church. So everybody wrote in, you know, I don't go to church no more because of this. I used to go to church, but I don't go no more because of that. All the old reasons, you've heard them all. And they wrote them, and they wrote them, and they wrote them, and they wrote them, and they wrote them. Well, the next week came out, and he said, I'm going to publish the results of why people don't go to church. He said, I'm going to put them in there. He said, however, I've only made one slight change. He said, everywhere you put the word church, he said, I just erased it, and I put the word movies. He said, that's all I've done. Didn't change the answer one bit. Left it just like you wrote it. So now our survey has become why I will no longer go to the movies. And the first one wrote in and said this. You know, I just don't go to the movies no more because I've just got out of the habit of going to the movies. And when you get out of the habit, it's hard to get started back. You ever heard anybody say that? About the movies? No, you ain't. You ever heard anybody say, you know what, I just ain't been to the movies and I've got to get back out there Friday night. You don't hear them say that, do you? It's hard to get started once you get out of the habit of going. Yeah, right. And the next one said this. The next one said, I just don't have nice enough clothes to wear to the movies. You know, they met these people don't have nothing to wear to church. I had an aunt like that one time. And she said, Danny, I'd come to your church, but she said, I just ain't got nothing to wear. And Mom said she had dresses hanging in her closet that had the tags still on them, brother. And I mean, it had shoes, all of it. And she had clothes to wear to the store. She had clothes to wear to ball games. She had clothes to wear to Walmart, just didn't have. Like that one fella, he said, I know my wife's an angel. He said, she's always up in the air harping about something and ain't never got an earthly thing to wear. But that's what it was. They ain't got nothing to wear. Just ain't got no clothes to wear to church. It ain't got no, they don't have nothing to wear. I've gained weight, and I just can't get in my dress no more. You know, it don't bother you to let your belly pop out everywhere else. Amen. I mean, just come on the house of God. Amen. They said, I just don't have nice enough clothes. Another one said this. Another one said, my mom and daddy made me go to the movies when I was little, and I made up my mind when I grew up I was never going back. Oh, boy, what a bunch of junk. That's a bunch of junk, brother. I hear people say that all the time. Well, they made me go to church when I was little, and I just, listen, I can't imagine somebody saying, they made me watch TV when I was little, and I made up my mind when I grew up. I was never watching that thing again. They forced it on me. They crammed it down my throat. Ah, shut up. You're just full of the devil and using that for an excuse. You know how I know that? Because I talked to one guy, and he says, the reason I don't go to church because they made me go when I was little, and I just rebelled. And the next guy said, why don't you go to church? And he says, because I never was raised to go to church. Now somebody lied. And the truth is, people do what they want to do. And they don't want to do it, they'll make an excuse. Say amen right there. The truth is tonight, people do what they want to do, and what they don't want to do, they'll think up some reason to keep them doing it. Next one said this. He said, I don't go to the movies no more because I went to the movies and I saw people down there and they ain't a bit better than I am. Next one said this. I don't go to the movies no more because I went to the movies for 3 straight weekends and not one person there told me they appreciated me. Listen, when I was growing up, we used to go to the movies every Saturday night. I mean, me and my friends, we lived, you know, in the country over there in Nebo, and there wasn't nothing else to do in our little town. That's it. We had the movies and an ice cream place, Tasty Freeze, and a putt-putt, and that was it. And on Saturday night, brother, we got us a ride to the movies. It didn't matter what was on. We didn't watch it no way. We just sat there and cut up and, you know, try to sit with a girlfriend or cut up, and or somebody else had a girlfriend, we'd throw popcorn and hit them in the head, you know, or something like that. And I remember sitting there, and we would pay our quarter to get in the movies, and then we'd walk down the street and get an ice cream, play putt-putt. And then my dad or his dad would come in. We went to the movies every Saturday night. And, buddy, did you think they ever appreciated us being there? Man, they was pushing each other in line. I remember I almost got in a fight with this guy. One night he said, get out of my way, Blondie. You know, and I said, look up, man. I was scared of him because he's a big, tall dude. And I was like about 12 years old. And I wasn't going to mess with him. And you know what? I went right back the next Saturday night. I didn't say it when they hurt my feelings. I went and nobody told me they appreciated me. You ever met these people think that when they act like they don't appreciate me now? I just thought, will you quit crying? You big baby, you. Will you get your feelings off your shoulder? Listen, I walked in here tonight and they wasn't but like two people spoke to me. That hurt my feelings. I don't think I'm ever going to preach again after tonight. I'm crushed. You people have been hateful to me. No, the truth is, I don't care if you shake my hand or not. Really, I don't even know why we do that. You might have germs or something. You don't have to shake my hand. I'm not here to get you to shake my hand. I'm here on business for the Lord. It's my Father's house. I come to worship. I come to get a blessing tonight. I come to get some help from the Lord tonight. I'm not going to say, well, Chris, not the three people only told me they appreciated me. Matter of fact, when we went to the movies, we'd be sitting there cutting up, and the door, they'd have a door right here, and it would open like this right here, and right here, there's this woman come out. She was about that tall, and she was ugly. She was the ugliest person you ever seen in your life. She was about 100 years old. She had a little flashlight, and she'd come in that door like that right there. And boy, she'd come out, and she'd say, you boys straighten up right there. And boy, we'd straighten up like that right there, and back in there she'd go, man. I was scared to death of her. And you know what we'd do? We'd come back the very next Saturday night. Now, really, what if it happened in the house of God? What if we had an old woman walking around in here tonight? Give me that thing right there. Hey, boy! Wipe that smile off your face! Don't you know there's a house of God? You'd say, boy, I ain't never going back there again. Them people is mean to my kids. Oh, I'm never, ever going to go back there again. Listen, brother, I'm telling you tonight, you know why you don't go to church? You don't want to. Amen. That's it. Let's be honest. People don't go because they don't want to go. And unless you're sick or have to work to provide for your family or something like that, brother, you ought to trot your little self over to the house of God and sit in there and take it like a man or a woman and line your kids up down to there and get them in Sunday school and get them in the house of God and find out what God wants you to do. Amen? That's right. Nixon said, I ain't going to get off this tonight. He said, I don't go to the movies no more because every time I went down there, they want money. Caught you asleep, didn't I? Yes, sir, they want money. You better believe it. Somebody said, well, they're just in it for the money. Yeah, that's right, they are. That's the only reason they have the theater is to get your money. They don't care about you. They have no interest in you at all. They don't care if you're happy, live or die. They just want your money, and you go right down there and give it to them. And the preacher takes up an offer. Well, that's all they're interested in down there. You got demons in you up to your ears, brother. I mean, you're listening to evil spirits. And Lord, at least you've got a choice here tonight. We do give you a choice, you know. You don't have to give. We pass the thing around, and you got a choice. What if we had the deacons out here at the front door, and when you come in and say, all right, $2 for adults, $1.50 for kids, you dive in. Oh, I can't believe that. I tell you what, this is the best show in town tonight, amen. That's right. I mean, Hollywood ain't got nothing on what we got going on here tonight. I'm telling you, and you don't have to give a dime. You don't have to give a dime. And still people say, I've even heard preachers, bless their heart, get up and apologize for taking up an offering, haven't you? I've heard them get up and say, I hate to do it tonight, people. I don't want to kill the revival, but we're going to have to take it. Lord, have mercy, brother. If that kills it, you didn't have nothing to start with. There ain't nothing wrong with giving our money to God. It's scriptural. It's right. Every time they come, go to Walmart and see if they're interested in your money. Go to McDonald's tonight. Go down there to this seafood place, hint, hint, and see if they're interested in your money. I mean, go down there, brother, and see if they'll let you eat and not pay. Amen? I'm telling you tonight, brother, God Almighty said we ought to go to church. We ought to make up our mind. Hey, by the way, if your kid gets up on Sunday morning and says, are we going to church, you need to get your heart right. Y'all know, everybody knows my girls. You can tell my girls. Everybody knows I got three daughters. I raised them three girls. We had a great time all their life. My girls never got up on Sunday and said, "Daddy, are we going to church?" What a dumb question. Is it Sunday? If it's Sunday, we're going. Well, my little girls would come in and say, "Daddy, I'm sick." I said, "Prove it. Throw up." I can't. Well, you ain't too sick to go to church. That's right. I went to church like that. You say, "Well, what if I go ahead and throw up?" I said, "Okay, you feel better after you throw up. Come on, let's go." That's right. That's right. Yeah. Listen, they've laid my office before with a fever, man, putting tie and all them and everything else. Listen, I went down the road. I don't give me this junk. Don't give me this stuff of, "Well, I've got little ones and it's hard to get them ready." You know, a husband and a wife and two little kids. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I had three little girls, brother. One of them in diapers, 18 months, by myself. And I was the pastor. So cry to me a little while. Sing me a sad song. Tell me how pitiful you are. Son, I've had them come to there, Brother Tommy. I mean, I've spilt chocolate milk down the front of her dress. Oh, honey, we're going to have to pull that one off. Put it on. It looked like a lampshade going down over top of them. And I had a church member on the telephone while I was between one of them sticking toast in their mouth. Said, "Brother Danny, I don't think I can make it to teach my class today. I've got a fever," and all that. My son, I went down the road studying my Sunday school lesson. Slinging diapers out the window. Amen, brother. I'm telling you, I've raised my kids to know when it's time to go to the house of God, we get up. I don't care if it snows. If it snows, we go anyway. Ain't got a four-wheel drive. You call somebody, "I have got one," to come by the house and pick you up. Because if you let one thing stop you, it won't be long till you let something else stop you. And it won't be long till you let something else stop you. You say, "You're an absolute fanatic." Thank you very much. Thank you. You ought to like me for that. You ought to appreciate it. I'm overboard because I'm trying to pull you over in the middle. See, we have to be overboard as preachers to get you where you need to be, right in the middle somewhere. Amen? And I'm telling you tonight, brother, God said to go to church. It just really, really, really upsets me when people, they say, "Well, preacher, you know, I hadn't seen Grandma since she stumped her toe last month, and you know, we just had to go see her, bless her heart." And I said, "Why didn't you go see Grandma yesterday?" She said, "Well, we worked in the yard all day." "Why didn't you go Friday?" "Well, I had to work, preacher, and you know, we always go to fish camp on Friday night." So you laid out of church to go see Grandma? Some of y'all looking at me awful funny tonight. Listen, brother, lay out of your yard work and go see Grandma. Go see Grandma at 1 o'clock to 5. You got all evening, and come back to the house of God on Sunday night. God said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Number two, you know why you ought to go to church? So you'll learn how to worship the right one. Now the truth is tonight, man has a natural appetite. Man has a natural appetite for food. We naturally want food. You can't help it. I mean, you get hungry. If ain't something bad wrong with you, you have a natural appetite. You have a natural appetite for warmth, for companionship. And I'm going to tell you something. You have a natural built-in instinct to worship something. We are, by nature, creatures that want to worship something as God. You can go to any continent on this planet where they've never even seen a book or don't even know letters, and they're going to worship some kind of God. Man naturally, inherently worships something as God. And if you don't worship the right God, you'll worship something else. Amen. You'll worship another God or yourself or money or your fame or force. Everybody worships something. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, I don't believe in God." That's crazy. Everybody's got a God. Amen. Everybody. Right. I'm telling you, brother, and you go to church, you know what you'll do? You turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. If you don't go to church, all you see is rap singers and rock singers and Britney Spears. Bless her heart, she looks awful now. And all that. If that was a real picture of her, I seen it at the store. I don't know if it was or not. Lord, they made her look awful now. That poor little old young'un, she's a has-been. Or they'll put, you know, there's Brad Pitt, and there's Angelina, big lip hole, and there's all them on that, and there's all our, and you think, oh my goodness, oh, they're wonderful, they're wonderful. And I tell you something, brother, they put their clothes on the same way we do. I'm telling you, listen, Angelina's breath stinks in the morning just like yours. Amen. That's right. They ain't God. Them people don't. If they come in here, people go, oh, I saw him. Passing out. Now, that stupid girl. I mean, listen, they ain't God, brother. They ain't God. I tell you what I want to do. I want to make a video of Jessica Simpson, you know, when she's got the flu. And she's throwing up, hugging the commode, you know, and put that on the front of her T-shirt and make a video and show a fever blister right here, you know. Hair's all messed up, no makeup on. You'd say, God, who's that? They're a person just like, but you know what the world do? They'll put them people up there because they know people's got to worship something. And if you don't go to church, you'll worship some fool like that. Somebody like a P. Diddy or Michael Jackson or you know, some Usher, 50 Cent or half a dollar, a dime, ain't worth a penny, whatever. You'll worship something. You'll say, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you about a man tonight that can walk on water. I'm going to tell you about a man tonight that can raise up dead people. I'm going to tell you tonight about a man that can wash your sins away. He's coming back in power and glory. And P. Diddy's going to get in front of him one day and say, you're God. That's why we ought to go to church. You know what I'm doing here tonight? I'm putting them down and putting him up. That's why you ought to go to church. You say, well, I want to worship the right one. You're in the right place to worship the right one. Did you see them ball games? I ain't seen none in a couple of weeks because I've been in church every night for the last couple of weeks and going to be this week, next week, and the week after, every night in church. And so I won't get to see them, but you see them Duke fans? You want to see some worship? Do you know the definition of worship? Look it up in the dictionary. The definition of worship is intense love or admiration for. That's the meaning of worship. Intense love. Brother, that's your Duke fans. Look at them boys up there. One of them had their shirt off, and he had a big D on his belly. And the next one right here had a big U on his belly. And the next one right here had a K on his belly. And they were out in public now. I mean, the cameras on them. Had half his face painted white. The other half, well, I told him the other night, one of them idiots had a big basketball goal sticking out of his head. Did you see that? Had a thing right here and had like a hat. And it had a basketball goal sticking out of his head. People say, well, what's wrong with that? Okay, what if we come in here acting like that? What if I come in here and had a big Bible sticking out of my head right here? And I was walking around like that. And I opened up my shirt and had Jesus. You'd say, oh my gosh, it's some kind of cult. We're not a bigger cult that goes to Duke University. I can't hear you. I'd shoot my dog if he went to that school. That's right, brother. I mean it. I'm serious. You think I'm kidding, brother. I don't want my kid going to some hellhole like UNC at Chapel Hill. That's the beer-drinking capital of North Carolina. You're crazy if you want to put your kid in an atmosphere like that. I don't apologize for it. You say, well, I don't like your preaching. Well, we'll give you your dollar back. There's your dollar. You probably didn't give one, no way. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, brother, we're going to worship the right one. We're not worshiping a ball team. There's one that said, we're number one. Chill, son. It's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. Just calm down. I'm telling you here tonight, brother, you're in the right place to worship. Brethren, we have met to what? Worship. I mean, we're intense love and admiration for the Lord of glory. He saved my soul. I'm not going to burn in hell. Hallelujah. I've won, glory to God. We've won the victory. We ought to worship him tonight. You say, well, boy, this makes me nervous. I'll tell you what makes me nervous in quiet churches. Them weird people go to quiet churches. That's right. I'll tell you who you better watch out for. A preacher that does this. We are so glad to see each one of you here. He's a crook. How you know he's a crook? Because nobody acts like that in real life. You see him uptown. You think he does that the next day when you see him uptown? It is so good to see you, my friend. I mean, he's on crack or something, man. Ain't nobody acts like that. He done got on meth. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. Something's wrong. We're here to worship. We're here to worship. You know what a rock concert is? It's a worship service. They're worshiping the feeling and the God of rock and roll. I'm going to give you another one tonight. You know why everybody ought to go to church? Everybody ought to go to church because at church you get God's view of man instead of man's view of God. You know what you get out in the world? You know, all you get out in the world is man's view of God. As a matter of fact, all you hear is that, well, I think this and I think that, and the Bible that, the church this, the pastor that. And at church you hear God's view of man. Out there, you hear them talking about that we made God. In here, God made us. That's why you ought to go to church, brother. You get your head straightened. Amen? I mean, brother, out there, you hear, now, you girls and you young men, you should think about your life and where you're going to college and having a career and a job and all that and your life and establishing yourself and doing what makes you happy. That's the main thing. That's all you hear out there in the world. If you're you're not in your relationship and you don't like your relationship, leave it. If you don't like your husband and you're not happy, you should leave. Be true to yourself. What's a bull like that? You know what you hear in church? You hear, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hey, you see, it's a whole different philosophy. Out there, all you hear is, be happy, make yourself happy, now, clothes, car, house. In here you say, we're looking past this. It ain't going to be here long. Our life is but as milk spilled out on the ground. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And you lose sight of time and get a sight of eternity. That's why y'all go to church. Church will help you keep your eyes on the prize and not on just what's on down here. Number four, let me say this quickly tonight. You know why everybody ought to go to church? Everybody ought to go to church so you'll have a happy home. Our homes are miserable today. There's never been a time in American history when people's got more, nicer home, finer home. I'll guarantee you, just about everybody in here has never lived better than you're living tonight. I mean, it wasn't 40, 50 years ago, wall-to-wall carpet, and we've done got all past that now and went back to hardwood. But I tell you what, brother, it was a thing nobody had. People didn't have air conditioning. People didn't have ever paved driveways. The road wasn't even paved. There wasn't no use paved driveway. The road you lived on was dirt. And I'll tell you what, brother, people didn't have all these conveniences that we have today. We don't have microwave ovens and stereos and satellite TVs and computers. Are you kidding? All that just came out in the last 5 years. Everybody getting the internet and stuff like that. And yet we are more miserable and unhappy than we've ever been before. There are more people miserable at home now than there was back when they didn't have nothing. They really are. I'm going to tell you, at church tonight, brother, you will have a happier home. I'm telling you, people, you can have a double garage and a central iron fireplace and full of hate and arguing and cussing and screaming all the time, busting plates and throwing pots and pans and slamming doors. It ain't worth a dime if you ain't happy in your home.
Amen.
Who wants a $500,000 house if all you do is scream and holler and fuss all the time? Now, I'm not crazy. I know that people in church have problems. I know people in church have family problems. Many of you here tonight, me, a lot of have had family. We're not immune to it. But on the average, by and large, the happiest homes are the people that go to church regular and serve God. I'll guarantee it. I don't like to hear somebody get on radio and say, the divorce rate is just as high among Christians. That's not true. That is not true. Now, that might be true among all church people of all denominations, but it is not true of Bible-believing Christians that go to church and serve God. The divorce rate is not higher. It's much, much lower. And I'll tell you tonight, brother, you know why? Because you and your wife have a fight, and Christians do have arguments, don't they? You say, no. That's because you don't ever open your mouth and she tells you ever move to move. That's right. You roost on the end of bed at night. Here's a hen peck. But it's like this, see. Shut up. No.
I ain't gonna do it.
Why'd I marry you? I don't know. Drop dead. Blah, blah, blah. And then you go to church. Boy, that old preacher gets up there and he starts a hammer. Jesus said, forgive. You know, thou shalt not, you know, don't hold grudges. Love your wife. Husbands, love your wife as Christ. Love the church. You know, about halfway through it, you start thinking, God, I'm a dog. Look how Jesus loved you. And then they start singing, and you reach over and grab her hand and squeeze it. And she squeezes. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Me too. Let's go to the altar. And everything works out right. See, church helps you keep your family right. And your kids, too. Keep the devil preached out of you. You, everybody here needs to go to church at least 3 times a week and get the devil preached out of you. Amen? He said, I don't need it that. Listen, I'm in church every night. I listen to preaching on the radio every day, and it takes all I can do to stay where I need to be with God. I mean, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you just gave up and don't even try. Listen, brother, it takes all this we can get nowadays. See, if you don't go to church, you'll just go to bed mad. You want to pray? No! I'll do my own praying. He ain't listen to you no way. Turn over and go to sleep. And the Bible said don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And you're not supposed to go to bed mad at each other. I mean, you can't even sleep. If you go to bed mad when you've been fighting with your husband or wife, you can't even sleep good. Oh, I don't know if you're talking. Heard about that one guy. You heard him. Said he's real hungry. And dreamed to eat a 150-pound marshmallow. And he woke up and his pillar was gone. Oh, yeah. That one fella, they said him and his wife, they fussed and they fussed and they fussed and they fussed. And he said, shut up. Go sleep. I don't care. Die. And they went to sleep. And they dreamed he's back in Vietnam. And he's going to there and he was grinning. And he was fighting through the weeds and he reached in there and pulled out a hand grenade and went boom. You know, he reached in these weeds and he pulled out another hand and he went, boom! And he did that 2 or 3 more times. And his wife was sitting up screaming, woke him up. She's holding her head like that and she didn't have a curler in her hair left. That's the way to be when she don't get your heart right before you go to sleep. Amen, that's right. I tell you, brother, you'll have a much happier home if you'll just put God first and go to church like y'all. Amen. Whether you admit it or not, what I've already said here tonight has helped you. Yes, it has. It's helped you. You know why I cut up with you tonight? It's therapy, man. The Bible said laughter doeth good like a medicine. And I'm getting some of you people, you could have went to a shrink and not gotten near as much help as what you've got right here tonight by the Spirit of God just lifting you up through the preaching and singing. That beautiful song the lady sang a while ago, and I mean, I know I ain't much of a preacher, but just the encouragement from the Word of God will help you. You need to go to church. You need to be in church. I don't know why the Lord had me to preach this tonight, but everybody in here needs to make up your mind. When it's church time, I'm going to be there. If you've got another church you're a part of and it's a good church, be there. Back up your pastor. If you don't, come here and back up the man of God. Be a part of the church and say, preacher, I'm with you. Let's go for it, Lord. Your preacher ought never have to get up here and have to worry about where you're at. I got people in our church, brother, if they ain't there, they're dead or in the hospital. You got some like that, I'm sure. But then there's others, every Sunday I look at their seat. Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, maybe they're late. Oh, no. Sunday school vote. They still ain't here. And you worry about them all day. Think, should I call them? If you don't call them, they think, well, I was out of church when nobody called me. If you do call them, say, my goodness, I'm just out one Sunday. Lay off of me. You know, I mean, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. So you need to be in your place. And by the way, your preacher knows when you're not here. We got one guy at our church. Our church will be 6 years old in July, and he's never missed a service. Not one service. Not one. Revival. Nothing. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I'll miss tomorrow night. I'm down here preaching. He's not missed one service. Thank God. Thank God. He said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let me give you another one right quick, and I'll hurry. You know why everybody ought to go to church? Keep you out of trouble. Keep yourself out of a lot of trouble if you'll go to the house of God. Go down there to jail and find the statistics of the guys in jail and ask them how many went to church regularly. About 1 out of 10. And there are some. I've been down there to jail before and said, hey, preacher, I'm a member of your church. Remember me? I said, we got a jail ministry from the inside. Yeah, you baptized me, preacher. You know, But the majority of them didn't go to church regularly. Big majority. I know a fella who was a truck driver. He went to church regularly. He went to church on weekends when he's home. And that old boy, big old rough giant of a man. But he loved the Lord. He loved the Bible. And he put out tapes all the time. And somehow or another, when he come home on weekend, he heard that his neighbor had been trying to fool around with his wife. He'd been flirting with her and calling her and coming over and stuff like that. Boy, he got mad. He's a big old bald-headed guy, and he turned red in the face, and he got his gun going to go kill him. Honestly, he was. He said, "Brother Danny, I had every intention of killing that man." He said, "I took my gun, I walked out the door," and he said, "as I was walking down the driveway, Brother Chris," he said, "that scripture, son, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I repay." It come back to him. The Holy Spirit brought to his remembrance what he'd been hearing at church. And he said, "I went on down the street and said, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord." And he kept thinking. He said, "Now if I do this, the Lord will take care of it." And he said, "I turned around and went back to my house." He said, "If it hadn't been for that verse of scripture, I'd be in prison right now." You see? You see what I'm saying? Just that one verse of scripture that he heard preached at church kept that man out of prison. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. You girls, boys, keep you off drugs. Keep you from marrying some fool that ain't going to be good to you. You'll stay in church, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble that you might have got into otherwise. I heard about this fella who was a preacher. And he preached for a while. But something happened at church, and he got hurt. And he said, "I ain't going back." And that always happens. Something's going to happen to you too. Somebody's going to hurt you. You're going to be betrayed. And I learned a long time ago, the people that's going to hurt you the most is going to be Christian people. You ain't going to be hurt by sinners. The people that you're going to get hurt by the most is going to be people in church. It's like our families. You know, our brother, we hurt each other. The people you love is the one that can hurt you the most. The more they love you, the more it hurts when they do you wrong. And he took his family out and quit church. And one morning, he was sitting reading the paper about 10 o'clock early one morning. And his wife come through the house. She said, "Honey, have you seen it, Junior?" That little boy about 3 years old. He said, "He come running through here a few minutes ago. I think he's out in the yard." She said, "No." She ran out in the yard like that. She said, she hollered and couldn't find the little boy. She said, "I can't find him." They got to looking around the house, couldn't find him. Got to looking in the back rooms, couldn't find him, out in the driveway, and they started getting scared. They said, "Has he run out in the road?" They hollered and screamed, and then all of a sudden they hear him. The neighbor's yard, swimming pool. And they run through the hedges, and both run through there, and sure enough, they got over there. There was that little boy's body floating like this when he fell in that pool and drowned. 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And he's sitting there reading the paper. 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Where's the preacher supposed to be at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning? There's a lot of people got in a lot of trouble because they wasn't where they're supposed to be in the house of God. I don't know about you, but I'm going to say like Joshua, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to go to the house of God." You say, "Brother Danny, I just want to go to that race down there in Atlanta so bad Sunday." I love basketball. I'd love to watch them all. But buddy, when it's time to go to church, I don't care if Michael Jordan was playing across the street and they gave me free tickets. I'd say, "See you later. We're going to the house of God." Amen? Let's stand by our heads. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. We ought to take it serious tonight. Tonight we're going to pray. We're going to sing. I know this is an unusual message, and I appreciate you hearing me out tonight. Maybe there's those here this evening that would say, "Preacher, I need to get my heart right with the Lord." Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Christians are praying. Brother Barry's getting us some old song. Maybe there's a young person, a mom or a dad here tonight, that deep in your heart you know you're not where you need to be with the Lord. And if you had to face the Lord in the next 30 minutes, you would not be ready to meet Him. And you might want to say, "Preacher, I just need to come to that altar tonight." Maybe there's people here tonight, me just coming.